Rajana 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 Yashoda Nandana Rajana Rajana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jai Om Vishnu Pad Padmamsa Varajagacharya Astro Tadasata Sushimad. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Padmamsa Varajagacharya Astro Tadasata Sushimad. Sringa Guru Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Ananti Kodi Vaishnavinda Ki Jai. ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Ramjako Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Kijai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shamakund Radhakund Gita Govardhan Kijai. Vrindavan Dham Kijai. Mayapur Dham Kijai. Navadeep Dham Kijai. Jamuna Maya Kim Ganga Maya Kijai. Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi Kijai. Nu Dwarka Dham Kijai. Their Divine Lordship Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarkadish Kijai. Their Divine Lordship Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Shimate Supadra Kijai. Their Divine Lordship, Shri Shri Gonitai Kijai. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Kijai. Transcendental Book Distribution Kijai. Harinam Sankirtanjaga Kijai. Transcendental Prasadam Distribution Kijai. Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the Sama Devotees Hare Krishna. All glories to the Sama Devotees Hare Krishna. All glories, Shri Shri Guru Shri Goranga, Guru Shri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Thank you for the opportunity to speak, and welcome to Srimad Bhagavatam. Today we're studying the third canto, chapter 20, Conversations Between Maitreya and Vidura. And you can see here we're going to be studying the Devatas in this chapter and also the Adevans. And you could guess who those are on the right side. Okay, so we'll just dive right into it here. Devastanaho sambigno Mamam jaksata raksata Aho me yaksha rakshamsi Prajayuyam babuvita Devastanaha sambigno Mamam jaksata rakshata Aho me yaksha rakshami Prajayuyam babuvita Devastanaha sambigno Mamam jaksata rakshata Aho me yaksha rakshamsi Prajayuyam babuvita Dayata Mumbita Devastana Hasam Vigno Manam Jaksata Yaksata Shansi Rakshata Ahome Yaksha Rakshamsi Prajayuyam Babu Vita. Go ahead, Prabhu. Go ahead. Devastana ho sambigno mamam jaksata rakshata aho me yaksha raksamsi praja yuyam babuvita devastana ha sambigno Nama Jakshata Rakshataha Ahome Yaksha Rakshamsi Prajayuyam Babuvita Devastanha Sambigno Nama Jaksha Rakshataha Ame yaksha rakshamsi Deva Lord Brahma Tan to them Aha said Sambigna being anxious Ma, do not. Mam, me. Jakshata, eat. Rakshata, protect. Aho, o. Me, my. Yaksha Rakshamsi. O Yakshas and Rakshashas. Praja, sons, yuyam, you, babuvita, were born. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Brahma, the head of the demigods, full of anxiety, asked them, do not eat me, but protect me. You are born for me and have become my sons. Therefore, you are Rakshashas, Yakshas and Rakshashas. Jai. Purport. The demons who were born from the body of Brahma were called Yakshas and Rakshashas because some of them cried out that Brahma should be eaten and others cried out that he should not be protected. The ones who said that he should be eaten were called Yakshas. And the ones who said that he should not be protected became Rakshashas, man-eaters. The two, Yakshas and Rakshashas, are the original creation by Brahma and are represented even until today in the uncivilized men who are scattered all over the universe. They are born of the mode of ignorance, and therefore, because of their behavior, they are called Rakshashas, or man-eaters. Om Ajnana Tumananda Shaginanjana Salakaya Chakshusha Militamena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upakadamayam Didakti Swapadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vancha Kapa Tubhischa Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Okay, so the verse again. Brahma, the head of the demigods, full of anxiety, asked them, "Do not eat me, but protect me. You are born for me and have become my sons. Therefore, you are yakshas and rakshasas." So we see here the rakshas and the yakshas, and also along with the demigods here. So this is what's being described in this canto, the creation of Lord Brahma. This is the Visarga, right? There's the Sarga and the Visarga. So there's some interesting things we could share about this particular verse and this chapter. So in the Narayan Kavacha, there's a mantra we could chant to become protected from the demons and fear from ghosts and different things. And this is how the verse goes. This is in the sixth canto. O club in the hand of the Supreme Personality guided, you produce sparks of fire as powerful as thunderbolts, and you're extremely dear to the Lord. I am also his servant. Therefore, kindly help me pound to pieces the evil living beings known as Kushmandas, Vainayakas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, Bhutas, and Grahas. Please pulverize them. So we may be fearful of all these demons and great personalities. But we can see here in this particular image, sometimes the demigods and the demons, they cooperate to produce something that's the nectar of immortality. So everybody's looking for this nectar to become happy and pleased and nourished. But they don't know what the real nectar is. And that's what we'll discuss today about this real nectar. So, another quote here, this is from the seventh canto, first chapter. When the quality of goodness is prominent, the sages and the demigods flourish with the help of that quality, with which they are infused and surcharged by the Supreme Lord. Similarly, when the mode of passion is prominent, the demons flourish. And when ignorance is prominent, the yakshas and rakshasas flourish. The Supreme Personality guided is present in everyone's heart, fostering the reactions of sattva-guna, raja-guna, and tamaguna. So you just see, Krishna is equal to everyone. And according to our consciousness, actually the mind is so powerful, it's described that it activates the three modes of material nature. It has godlike power. We'll talk a little bit about the mind, which is very interesting. And there's another quote here. So one cannot judge whether a person is a devata, an asura, or a rakshasa by seeing him. But a sane man can understand this by the activities such a person performs. A general description is given in the Padma Purana. Vishnu Bhakta Smriti Daiva Asuras Tad Viparyaya. A devotee of Lord Vishnu is a demigod, whereas an asura or yaksha is just the opposite. An asura is not a devotee of Lord Vishnu. Instead, for his sense gratification, he is a devotee of the demigods, bhutas, pretas, and so on. Thus, one can judge who is a devata, who is a rakshasa, and who is an asura by how they conduct their activities. So you can see, we walk down the street. Actually, we're in a culture of rakshasas, you know, demons. Not necessarily these rakshasas, you see people jumping on each other and eating them, but actually not too far away because they're, you know, eating very abominable habits. So we'll talk the importance of what we eat, what we use the mouth for. Again, it's describing here. By external features, one cannot understand who is favored by Krishna and who is not. According to one's attitude, Krishna becomes one's direct advisor. So it's your attitude. Or Krishna becomes unknown. This is not Krishna's partiality. It is his response to one's ability to understand him. According to one's receptiveness, whether one be a devata, asura, yaksha, or rakshasa, Krishna's quality is proportionately exhibited. This proportionate exhibition of Krishna's power is misunderstood by less intelligent men to be Krishna's partiality. But actually, it is no such thing. Krishna is equal to everyone, and according to one's ability to receive the favor of Krishna, one advances in Krishna consciousness. So just see, this is our decision. It's up to us, and Krishna is equal. And he's so kind, he creates this entire universe with so many different types of living entities. And according to their desires, they get a particular situation in a body. So that's amazing. So anyway, just to give you a little idea of the chapter here. This may take a little while to... Is it clear? Sometimes, yeah, I guess it's clear. So, so here we are on this 20th chapter, conversation between Maitreya and Vidura. And we're already getting close here to the last part here. Brahma's creation. This is the Visarga, or the secondary creation. And then here, we're just finishing up the creation of the yakshas and rakshasas. And then we'll see there'll be creation of the devatas and the demigods and different creations by Lord Brahma. So this is the task. What a task he has. And to create all these living entities. He's so powerful. So there's some points we can refer, kind of glean from this particular chapter. And particularly in this area, we could see how sex life is seen as the root of material bondage and ignorance, and controlling the sex drive is critical for spiritual progress. And meditation and glorification of the Supreme Lord and his names, like Sankirtan, have immense purifying potency and should be the central focus of life. And we should perform proper sacrifices, austerities, spiritual practices to elevate ourselves to self-realization. So this is the foundation our movement is trying to produce. So, and also we'll see here how demons are prone to disrespect their gurus, teachers, out of lust. So one should be very careful of this mentality. But we should have association with pure devotees of Krishna. That's essential for advancement. And prayers for protection from these demons are there. We mentioned one prayer. So in summary, this ancient Vedic science, you could say, it contains timeless messages about the problems that are plaguing our human consciousness and the solutions for individuals and social upliftment. So we should do well to apply these teachings that we're going to learn. So going on here, we could see the task of Lord Brahma, how he's creating these different, as we see here in this, we're going to see the verses where it's, and then the mentality, you know, that created this particular situation and what the created beings are and the possession accepted by these beings. So as we see here, we're just studying now how from ignorance, the shadow, the yakshasas and rakshasas are created. And then it just goes on and on. How from goodness, we're going to see in the next verse, the devatas, and they come from, they take possession of the day. And then we see how from Lord Brahma's buttocks, the demons are born. And they take possession of twilight. And you see, a lust like that. And then from the beauty, we'll see the Gandharvas, the Apsaras are created. And they take possession of the moonlight. And then we'll see from just his laziness, the Bhutas and the Pisachas are created. And they attack impure persons. So these are all the problems also caused by these living entities to one another. And then from the invisible form and his power of Lord Brahma, the pritis and the sadhyas. And so they're all created and they accept the strata offerings. And then we see here from, it's described here, the antardakshina. Yeah. The siddhas and the vidyaharas are created and they are invisible. And then even just from his reflection, then Kimpurushas and the Kimaras are born. So they praise Brahma in the dawn. And so we see from anger, his hair, his hands, his legs, snakes, serpents, and they take shelter of cruelty, you see. And then from his own form, the Manus are created. We'll see how, and they take shelter of the sacrifices and the rites. And then from all the parts of his body, the great sages, and they take shelter of the different forms that you can see here. So this is very interesting. So we talked about the mind. So the mind is considered to be the Manu Rata. It's like, as described here, the mental chariot. It's like a restless chariot, and it drives the soul through endless desires and suffering. And we get lost in chasing this momentary sense gratification, and we will remain perpetually anxious, you know, without any shelter or peace, just going from here and here. It's very powerful, this mind. But we see the mind needs to take shelter, and who is the greatest shelter but the pure devotees? And we see great kings like King Parchunibarhi here. He took shelter of Narada. And what did he say about the mind? He said, "O king, all good fortune unto you. The mind is the cause of the living entities attaining a certain type of body in accordance with his association with material nature. According to one's mental composition, one can understand what the living entity was in his past life, as well as what kind of body he will have in the future. The mind indicates the past and future bodies." So we see here, it's proven. So in summary, the mind, it agitates the living entity through chasing endless material desires. And to tame the mind, we have to take shelter of Krishna and the Guru. So that will provide, and they provide spiritual engagement and protection for us. So here we see the king, and this is the king's duty. He's inquiring about spiritual life, and he should act as a guardian of the citizens by teaching them the proper goal of life, self-realization, God-realization, and they should give advice from the scriptures and be equal to all the citizens. So this is all described here. We'll see the duties of kings. They should act as benevolent caretakers and upholders of religious principles, focused on spiritual education and gradual elevation of the citizens, rather than contamination by falsely punishing them or promoting irreligion. So we see there's another metaphor. It's described as Karna Dara, and this means the captain of the ship. So this is interesting, this metaphor of the captain of the ship. It illustrates that idea of directing one's own life while still being immersed in the present moment. So as they say, you know, you're the architect of your own life, right? You're the captain of the ship. So we can see the ship captain, he navigates the enormity of the sea. And we can captain the ship of our own lives. But this doesn't mean that we can control every aspect of our life, but it's actually skillfully navigating through this powerful ocean. So he coordinates everything on the ship, you know, and he's not trying to control the ocean, you see, but he's actually trying to, you know, understand the ocean, feel the ocean, kind of live in harmony with the ocean, understand the ocean. So similarly, in our life, we can't control every single moment in our life. So there's deeper forces at play, which we kind of touched on them. But when we cultivate understanding who we are. You know, we tap into our intuition, tap into the knowledge given by the guru, by the sages. And then we gain wisdom and we learn how best to steer the ship. We become better captains by being immersed in a consciousness of understanding the bigger picture, of seeing who we are and our relationship with this great ocean. But if we just get caught up in our own ambitions, our goals, and we don't really slow down and understand, you know, who we are, what we're doing here, then we'll become disconnected from what's really real. So we have to actually, you know, every moment try to feel the presence of the Supreme. Like when we're chanting, you feel Krishna. You know, it's like the power of Krishna. It's like you're a captain of the ship and you can feel the power of the ocean, right? It's so powerful. So similarly, we're chanting and we feel the power of our senses, the power of our mind. You know, it's like dragging us here and there. But if we just actually try to focus on that mantra, focus on those higher realities, then we can steer this ship of the body. So this is nice. There's a nice verse. We think we have met your goodness by the will of providence, just so that we may accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of the human being. So there's a nice clip which Srila Prabhupada talks about this, and I'd like to play that here and see if you can hear it. I think that volume has to go up. Is he there? Okay. Could barely hear it. Oh, yeah, maybe my increased mind. Let me see. I don't know how I could. Oh, yeah, let's see if I could do it from here. No. I don't see here where. It's up all the way on his side? I'm not sure how to do that. Let's see if we could find that. I'll have to get out of the program, sorry. Let's see here. That's the alarm. Sorry. Oh, that's the brightness. That's funny, I don't even know where that is. Okay. Let's see here. Let me go here. Here it is. Oh, that's alarms. Okay. That's funny. The most simple thing, I don't know where it is. Oh, well. Let's see if I could do it this way. Anyway, I don't see it. Govinda. No, there isn't actually. Actually, maybe there is. Let me see. Yeah, it looks like it's up all the way. There you go. Okay, let's try it now, see if it works. Oops, we go to the next slide. That's as loud as it goes. So his Srila Prabhupada's talking about how the material world is not required by you and me, because we're actually people of the land. So if you want to cross the ocean, you need a good boat. And this body is a good boat to cross the ocean. And you need a good captain of the ship. to cross the ocean. And if you have a good captain and favorable winds, then you could ply across the ocean very smoothly. So this is where we have to take advantage of the spiritual master and the favorable winds of his instructions of the guru and the spiritual master. So anyway, sorry. I just want to get another voice in there, Srila Prabhupada. But you could barely hear him. Sorry about that. So we talked about the universe. And we're talking about the yakshas and the rakshasas. And so you can see the earth planet there. But they live, as Drudha Karma said yesterday, right above the earth planet. And it's right there. You can see it's circled right there where it's showing. And that's where they reside. So we see this huge universal body and all these different places where people could live according to the body that they desire with their mind. So it's amazing. So as you mentioned, so as above, so below. So there's macro and also there's micro. So even within our own body, there's a universe. And this is actually brought out here. There's a very interesting book. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's called the Gayatri Mantra by Satchinandana Swami. And it describes very nicely about how within the body, he described all the different chakras, how they represent the different places. And so these are the Mahavyaritis and how they represent the three planes of the material existence. So namely the senses, the mind, and the intelligence. And he suggests this. He says the first plane is Bhu, is a world of our experience, like Bhuloka, the place where we're physically present. And this is a plane where the 10 senses interact with the sense objects. And then the next plane is the Bhuvaha, is a world of mental activity. And it's the subtle world of previous samskaras, impressions, and things like that. And then above that is the Bhurloka, is Swarloka, the world of intelligence. And that's the mental world. And that's, you know, ruled by acceptance and rejection. So in this way, we can see our own universe in this Bhu, Bhuva, Swa. And it's our own microcosm of the senses, the mind, and the intelligence. So there's yogis that actually, they can actually elevate the soul through these different chakras. And they can leave the body and go anywhere they want. So here's what's described. I'll show you here now. So we're going to talk about the Brahma Gayatri, which Lord Brahma actually uses this creation. And also we can chant this Gayatri. And many yogis use this Brahma Gayatri to go to different and elevate the consciousness and to see that in different places in the body. So here. So if we go here first to the Muladhara, that's the pelvis, that's like Bhurloka. And that's, we can... This shows the loka, it's Bhuloka. So this is the chakra that it represents. Then if we go up here again, we go to the lower abdomen, that's the Svadhisthana chakra, and that we could go to Bhuvaha. And then as we elevate, we go to Swa, which is the Manipur, the solar plexus, go to Swaha. These are the lokas. And then the Tatsavitur, this is the mantra, we're chanting the words of the mantra. And then this goes to the anhata, the heart area. You see, and then that takes us to the mahar, which it represents that. And then we go to here, the varenyam, and this is the throat area, the visuddha, and that takes us to jana. And then we see, here we go to the agya, which is the forehead, the Bhargo Devasya, this is the mantra. And then the place that you go to is the Tapa Loka. And then above that is the Sahasra, the Dio-Yo. And that takes us to that's the top of the head, that takes us to Satya Loka. So you can see here in the same way, we chant these mantras, we can help raise the consciousness along these chakras, starting from the lowest level, the sensual plane, and ending to the highest, the thousand petal, chakra at the top of the head. And actually, Lord Krishna describes a similar process to Uddhava in the 11th canto. He says, beginning from the Muladhara chakra, one should move the air continuously upward like the fibers in the lotus stalk until one reaches the heart where the sacred syllable Om is situated like the sound of a bell. And one should thus continue raising the sacred syllable upward the distance of 12 angulas. And there the Omkar should be joined together with the 15 vibrations produced with the Anusvara. So you can see, it's very difficult. It's not easy. So we can appreciate this mystic meditation, but we should stick firmly to the simple, foolproof method of meditation described for this age. And that's simply by chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So just showing you how mystic yoga illustrates the Brahma Gayatri Mantra and how it works on different levels of existence. This is very interesting. So we can see, if we meditate on that divine sun, which is rising, like spreading, you know, this Surya Mantra, then we can elevate our consciousness. It actually elevates us and we can become like glow with like sunshine, it's described. So this is here described. And also this solar emblem, it kind of represents the sun, how it morphs into like a third eye and how we get this transcendental insight and truth from these mantras. So this is that mantra, the Gayatri Mantra. Let us meditate on that worshipful effulgence of the divine sun who enthuses our meditation. So, and then talking about mantras, also in the Gayatri Mantra, there's the Gopal Mantra. And this is the Gopal Mantra in a Gopal Yantra. So this is it here. And one time Lord Brahma was asked about his creation, you know, how his own experience of the unlimited creative power he has. And he says that he continually was glorifying the Lord for millions of years, and then the Lord appeared before him. And he gave him this mantra. And he started creating. And so these are the different letters of the mantra from the Gopal mantra. And he said, from the letter Ka, I created water. And earth was created from La. And fire from I. And the moon from Bindu. And the sun from the entire word Klim. From the word Krishnaya, I created ether. From Govindaya, air. From Gopi Janavalabhaya, knowledge and the Sarabi cows. And finally, from Swaha, I created men, women, and everything else. So just see, this is the power of these mantras. And we know from the book where Gopi Kumar, he travels all over the universe with this mantra. He was so pure, and his Guru Maharaj told him that if you just meditate on where you want to go by chanting this mantra, you'll be there. So similarly, when you chant the Gayatri Mantra, actually it helps fulfill material desires. So you have to be careful what you think about, because that's what you attain. So talking about the mind is very powerful. So here we see how the tongue, it has two functions. It has tasting and eating, you know, and speaking. So basically, eating and speaking. But we have to control the both. It's very important. But we have to chant the names of Krishna, engage the tongue positively, and also eating pure foods, controlling the tongue. So these are the first limbs of devotional service is hearing and chanting, which engage in the tongue. And we bring the tongue under control by regulated eating, favorable chanting, and in that way, we control all the other senses in the body. Because the tongue is like a gateway to our sense control. And this is our first way of advancing spiritually, is through the tongue. So this is here described in our eating, our senses, this like that. We're spiritual warriors. And it's so powerful. We see the pastime of Ajamil, that even if we chant unconsciously or indirectly, the power of the holy name still acts. And it eradicates so many sinful things. So it's unmatched how it purifies the heart. And we see how Ajamil went back to Godhead, so it's possible for us also to go back home, back to Godhead. So this is what Srila Prabhupada gave us, the Hare Krishna movement. It provides that facility for all of us to become purified and go back home, back to Godhead. Because the Vaishnavas in the Hare Krishna movement, it's described in a verse that they are worshipable in the heavenly planets, in the earthly planets, and in the hellish planets. And they are superior to the demigods, the human beings, the yakshas, and the rakshasas. So if we take shelter of the devotees, you know, there will be no doubt that by being attached to their service, they'll attain perfection. So I'll end there and I'll see if there's any comments or questions. Okay. Well, thank you for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.